teranga marie orang inu ye tui hone o papu tu no kue takatone o te tai ae afine ia tātou tihe mauri ora. This is the Green Desk on 95 BFM.
It is indeed time for the Green Desk this week, and the first week of September. This week on the Green Desk, Mitchell Fuller speaks to the University of Canterbury's Jo Carpenter, who recently published her thesis on seed dispersal in Aotearoa's flightless birds. The research had a rather specific focus on weka, which are often seen as a nuisance among campers and trampers. However, Jo's research had discovered that weka are excellent seed dispersers and are essential to the survival of certain species. The research also showed significant implications on human interaction with weka, where those which experienced interaction through camping or picnicking tended to be 40 to 50% less effective in their role functions. Mitchell and Jo discuss the findings of her research, and Mitchell begins by asking her how it began and what she set out to achieve.
So weka are really charming yet quite controversial birds in New Zealand, and the reason that they're controversial is because for conservation managers, weka can be a real problem because they can eat the eggs, chicks of native birds and also geckos and insects. But weka actually also eat a lot of fruit. So we had this idea that perhaps weka are also performing some really important services for New Zealand's forests through seed dispersal. So this study kind of set out to look at what kind of seed dispersal services weka give and how important they are for New Zealand's forests.
Right, yeah, because I, like in my experience, I've always associated that, like it's synonymous with more of a pest. And I know like kereru eat native fruits as well, they, you know, niko puriri and things like that. What is the weka actually eating? Is it similar to that, or is it different for like a forest floor dweller?
Yeah, so obviously weka are slightly limited in what they can eat because they are flightless. So they do eat some of the fruits that kereru eat, and including some of our really large seeded native plant species, which, you know, not many other birds can eat because they just don't have big enough beaks. But weka are also particularly important for some of our tree species, which actually have quite strange seeds which fall to the ground when they're ripe. And we've got about 5 species that tend to do that. And when their fruits hit the forest floor, they're actually quite conspicuous and shiny and bright. So this research as well was kind of aiming to look at how important weka might be for those kind of species specifically.
So how significant is this, the discovery that you kind of came out with?
Well, I think it's very significant, but it probably depends how much you care about seed dispersal.
Yep.
Seed dispersal is a really crucial process in New Zealand's forests. We've got an amazing prevalence of plant and tree species which have fruits that are completely adapted to be dispersed by animals. And seed dispersal is really important for, you know, plants being able to regenerate, to be able to colonise new sites, and even to escape effects like climate change. You know, it allows them to move to more appropriate microclimates. So the fact that weka are very important for some of our plant species, I think, means that it's a really significant finding.
Well, it's literally the only way that these forests and these trees or species are going to be able to continue thriving, right?
Yeah, I mean, some of these plants will be able to germinate on their own without passing through a bird. But, you know, if you think about forest fragmentation, for example, where we end up with lots of little patches of bush, which is quite common in New Zealand, you know, across kind of farming landscapes,
of course,
for example,
yeah.
Then seed dispersal becomes particularly critical because you really need animals or birds that are moving the seeds between the forest fragments so that, you know, they're getting to the right kind of sites and not just dying on, you know, in these areas that aren't appropriate for growth. So it is really important.
Yep. Well, when you think about things like the kereru and other native birds that can fly, like how far can a weka actually go, you know, like on foot? How far are we talking?
So with my study, we found that weka could disperse some of these seeds over 2 kilometres, which is actually more than a similar study found for Kerridoo. But it's important to remember that we could only monitor these birds for 2 weeks. That's the length of time the GPS transmitters we had on them lasted for. And there's actually been accounts of weka moving, you know, 100 kilometres when they've been translocated to a different area and they try and get home. And they're incredibly mobile. They can cross mountain ranges and rivers. They're amazing swimmers. So even though they're flightless, they actually have an incredible capacity to move around the landscape.
Maybe turning to the more kind of disturbing element, maybe you want to discuss the threat of having human interaction with weka and your findings there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, anyone that's really seen weka in the wild will probably know that they're incredibly curious, gregarious birds that like to spend time around people. But a lot of what they do when they do spend time around people is they want to steal your stuff. You know, they want to steal your lunch and, you know, they want to steal your gear. And often because weka are at these sites which have a lot of people visiting, like a campsite or a picnic kind of area, the birds that spend time at those sites, we think, are probably getting fed quite a lot by people. And so with our study, what we actually found is that these weka that spend a lot of time around people are actually less effective seed dispersers because they don't travel as far as their more remote counterparts. So they won't be dispersing seeds as far as those forest birds. And that is quite worrying, really.
And do you think that's representative of bird, like species as a whole, like other animals and or in birds as well?
That's a good question. It will definitely depend on what kind of bird. So it wouldn't surprise me if it might be similar for kea. You know, kea also spend a lot of time around people and they get fed a lot by people. I'm not sure if anyone's tracked those kea to see whether they tend to spend all their time at campsites or not. But obviously you actually might get a completely different effect if you're dealing with a bird that's actually really frightened of people. So some people have shown with ducks that, you know, if people are coming to their ponds quite often and disturbing them, then the ducks will fly away and they'll fly quite big distances to go to other ponds. So in that kind of sense, actually human disturbance potentially makes ducks better seed dispersers because it actually forces them to travel further. So the impact of human disturbance on animals, I think, is quite variable depending on the species and its behaviour.
Right, and is this what I was reading in your thing? I'd never seen this term before, but is this what you mean by cryptic function loss?
Yeah, absolutely. So cryptic function loss is just a term for when an animal is still present in an ecosystem, but because of a way that disturbance is affecting it, it's not actually carrying out the function it should be. But of course, because it's present, we just assume it's doing the job it should be. And so that's why it's called cryptic function loss, because the loss of that function is hidden.
You were talking about the bigger fruits that other birds can't digest and disperse. What is that going to mean for them? Is it Hino that is completely reliant on them?
Yeah, so Kerridoo do eat Hino, but weka eat a lot more Hino than Kerridoo do. So definitely for a species like Hino, weka appear to be the most important disperser for them. Yeah, and obviously weka have gone extinct over huge areas of New Zealand where Hino still occurs. So that's quite concerning. But like you said, there is a whole huge area of research, absolutely, which is kind of looking at what the long-term consequences of this loss of dispersal could be for species like Hino that do appear to rely more on weka. Some studies have shown that, when Hino seeds fall to the ground beneath the parent, they're far less likely to germinate and create seedlings. Like they do need to travel away from their parents to survive, you know, much like kids or young adults. You know, we need to come out from under our suffocating parents so that we can grow, and it's the same for plants. So it would be really interesting to do more study looking at what the like cascading effects of, you know, losing weka could be for some of these plant species.
Awesome. Well, this is quite significant information. Has this been shared with people like Doc and things like that to get this information out there and kind of convey like how important, you know, this weka actually are compared to what they're known to be?
Yeah, because I mean, like you said, they do have quite a bad reputation, don't they? Yeah, I've definitely talked to some people in DOC about it, and I think it's something as well that I'd really like more sanctuary managers to know about, because often people don't want weka in their sanctuaries because they're too worried about what it's going to do to the other species. And that could be a really valid concern. We do need to do more study to understand what possible negative effects weka could have on those species. But yeah, I do feel like people really underestimate what positive benefits weka could also bring to their restoration project.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauri Ora.